You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
There we go.
Guess what? We're here. Pastor Tom is not here. Jonathan has got the headphones on. Can you hear me, Jonathan?
I'm not here.
He's not here. See, we just...
Yeah, he's not here, and he left us this little clock.
We just had a faithful listener in that was in here talking to Vince Rosino, CPA, and she's a faithful listener that has been listening to our show for a long time, and she said, I'm not supposed to pick on Tom anymore, but I can pick on Jonathan, she said.
That's right.
She did say that. You see what?
It's okay.
See how much clout you have?
But I have no mic, so but I have no defense.
Well, here, wait a minute. Here's a mic. you're in trouble now. Let me just make that closer to you. See, when Dave is here, I got him into the shows constantly because he didn't know anything about investments and all. So he was a good student to teach, because what we take for granted it's not always easy to explain when you know it too well. You got to reverse it. That's why the pizza story came up for the mutual.
He did a good job with the pizza.
Yeah, and
makes
and
us all hungry every show.
Did you see the cartoon you made me?
Yes, I did.
I mean,
it was pretty classic.
I got it framed at home now.
Yeah, he framed you.
I took down all the credential ones that said I've got all of these licenses and stuff, and just put up the pizza one. So it was good. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. And the messy Jew is sitting down here on the end.
Yes, I am.
Very good. When I say this, for those of you that are not regular listeners, this is not heresy, or I'm not being disrespectful. I guess I am a little bit, but Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, is a messianic Jew, which means he converted to Christianity how many years ago now?
July 18th of 2009.
And what brought you to that conclusion?
Pastor Steve Miller, who now has a wonderful church up in Lexington, Kentucky, but had a wonderful church down in Port St. Lucie for a while.
And so he convinced you to make the transition.
No, the Lord convinced
me. Well, okay, but he might have helped you. He was a bit of a conduit, would you say?
Oh, he was definitely a conduit. I like your use of the English language today. I'm impressed.
I know, conduit.
That's because he was resting for 2 weeks.
I'm just letting you get a little small talk before Vince and I really get into something that has meat today.
Well, you know, the reason I know conduit, I had to lay a whole bunch of it to put electric out to my boat.
Oh, so I've got that word. He's got burnt, that conduit
got my burnt down, into burnt. My head. So back in '04, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, said, let's start doing a radio show so we can answer questions for people that we may know individually, but as a group, we will be able to handle more because law is not my thing. Having an independent insurance agency was not my thing, and obviously I'm a financial advisor, and it wasn't their thing. So we started doing the shows, and now here it is, 14 years later, we're still doing them. But in the meantime, we added other members to the team over a period of years. Vince Rizzino, CPA, critical point, because tax questions would come up, and none of the three of us were tax experts. So we, and especially with all the changes that have gone on for the last few years, and who knows where it's sifting out now, right? I mean, it's not easy.
There's still a lot of question marks.
Yep.
The clarification's coming, slow but sure. The IRS has to come out with regulations on half the stuff.
It makes it interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, they get the law, but then have to interpret what the law means.
There you go. So. And they got to have attorneys do that.
Yes.
And they've got to be tax attorneys on top.
Obviously.
It makes life more interesting, does it not?
Yes, it does. And it helps. But it also makes it frustrating when you're trying to help clients who ask you, you know, what is this? How's this going to impact me?
Yeah.
I get that question all the time now. What does it mean for me? Is it as good as they're saying it is?
Yeah. Well, you know, until it shakes out, it'll probably be more than a year before it really shakes out.
Well, certainly before the end of the year, they must come to conclusions because they're going to have a season again.
There might be some modifications after that, I would bet.
Now, the big one, of course, is the A199 deduction, which is the 20% for pass-through income. That's the big one, and we're still waiting for clarification.
And, you know, what I like about, you know, your business is so simple. It's only like 60,000 pages long, and then they add 5,000 or 10,000 pages a year to clarify the 60,000 that they can't figure out.
I think it's up to 72,000.
And you've got them all memorized.
I do, right down to the letter. Every jot and tittle.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. That is toll-free from any place. Class, you're supposed to write that down. You're supposed to keep that next to the phone because we have Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor here. And we have a bit of a dangerous knowledge when it comes to the law because both of us have to deal with attorneys constantly and have over many, many years. So we have a pretty good working understanding of wills and trusts. We also have Dan Warren, who's not here today, who's an independent insurance agent. Big word, independent, meaning he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for you, the client. What does that mean? Well, under his umbrella, there's give or take 100 different companies, and in my not too humble opinion, he's the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, 38 years in business. And if Dan doesn't have it, I don't think you can get it. He's really knows his stuff, and that makes me extremely happy. And in fact, when we put this group together, the whole concept was to get seasoned. Do you hear that word, seasoned? Are you listening? Do you hear? Are you ignoring me?
I heard the word seasoned.
Okay. Yep.
We have a lot of seasoning.
And you know, fortunately or unfortunately, we also have Jonathan, who's well seasoned.
How do you know that?
Because I can tell by looking, you lost all your hair. Either that, you were born bald.
That's called survival.
Survival, right? And then Vince Rizzino, CPA. Now, I mean, you've only been a CPA for,
I hate to tell you, about 40 years.
Isn't that scary?
Mm-hmm, it is scary. Yeah. I was looking at my license the other day. I said, wow, I've been practicing that long.
And on top of that, he's a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And not everybody gets those credentials. It takes time. And anyway, bottom line is, then we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's only been a realtor since 1980 or 78, I forget which, and for somebody only 30 years old, this is kind of a miracle, right? We do have miracles happen here.
That's right.
You know how women somehow or other never get old. Isn't that, it's just kind of a miracle?
It is.
Yes, that's what I figured. And they never dye their hair. You notice that?
And they're never wrong.
Okay.
That's a miracle, too.
That's a miracle.
You know, maybe we're going back to the...
we're going to get in trouble here.
We are.
Better stay on point.
We're probably already in trouble.
We'll go back to the pre-flood days, Joe, when they all lived 600, 700, 800, 900 years.
That's the attorney joke, right?
No. No, it's... It's biblical, Joe.
It is biblical, right? It was. Never mind. I won't tell that joke. But anyway, Alan, you've never heard any attorney jokes, right?
I'm just waiting. Are we going to get into the meat of what I want to talk to Vince about?
In a minute. Uh-oh. In a minute. Okay. We also talk about Mike Paulus, mortgage broker,
yes,
who is a monster part of the group, because in the last few years, there have been so many changes in the mortgage industry. It went from you can't get a mortgage, which was never true, but the biggest single thing that happens today is you have to prove you can actually make the payment. Can you believe what a concept that is?
That's a shock.
Isn't that a shock? Mm-hmm. And that was the system forever and ever until the recession hit, when they fogging a mirror allowed you to get one. But now you have to prove you can make the payment. Now, it is easier today to get a mortgage than it was 4 or 5 years ago, but it's still you have to prove you can make the payment. So they have these ratios of income to debt. So the concept of the group is very simple. We're here to protect you, here to help you. So we've got Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor. We've got Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Did I mention Greg Fasula, attorney?
No, you don't forget about Greg.
And by the way, when you hear that word attorney, a lot of people, it kind of makes them shake a little bit, because a lot of attorneys are pretentious and arrogant, and which is not Greg. Greg happens to be a patient person, a good listener, understanding. One of the better people you'll ever meet in your whole life. And I mean, it's one of the few people in life you'd like to, what did I say this morning on the other show? I'd like to have him as a next door neighbor. And Dan says, yeah, but he wouldn't want to be next to you, Joe. And I said, well, you know, there is a possibility.
Never thought of that.
Never thought of
that.
That
is definitely a possibility.
1-888-221-8990. And we have Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, also our messy Jew, also called a messianic Jew. And he has been waiting patiently for me to be quiet.
Joe, I just need to be educated today by Vince. And if you can educate me also, that's wonderful.
Here we go.
Vince.
Okay, I hope I can do the job. Go ahead.
And I'm being very serious in asking you this question because of the fact that we've heard on the news all this business about tariffs and tariff wars and things like that. But can you explain in layman's terms so we can all understand it, what's going on? What does it mean when Trump issues an order that $200 million is going
about
to be
billion,
put on or $1 billion is going to be put on Chinese goods? And what are the ramifications of all of this going on? I mean, to me, it's just I hear it on the news and I don't understand it.
Well, I don't pretend to be an economist, but I could tell you this. It's going to mean higher prices for us in the U.S. On all these imported goods, because they'll be more expensive to us. Now, the flip side of that is, if there's equality in pricing between overseas goods to here or what we domestically produce, you might see people buying more domestic stuff, which means, in theory, you should have more jobs, because
right.
You're going to need more people to produce the goods that will henceforth, I should say previously, bought overseas. So if you buy something from China, whatever, a cell phone. If they could produce it here for the same price as you're getting it there with the tariff, mm-hmm. It's the same cost, then you're likely to buy American, right?
Right.
If I've got a choice and it's the same cost, American good, foreign good,
sure,
I'd probably buy American. So if everybody buys American, theoretically, there's more demand for American product. That means you're going to expand the workforce because more people have to get involved to make. And that's the flip side. Going to be more expensive, yes, but there'll be more jobs and more presumably more production going on here in the U.S. Whereas before,
but there is
it was a
flip
drain.
Side to that, though, too. Very most people, I shouldn't say that. Most people, many of us believe that all of this is a strategy to make a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for years and years and years, America has been taken advantage of openly, knowingly by foreign countries who actually needed more help. And we were big brother and have been big brother to many, many, many countries and still are. And Trump is now saying, okay, it's time. Let's make this a level playing field. I'll ship you our cars. You don't charge a tariff. You ship me your cars. We won't charge you a tariff. Make it fair trade.
Yeah, it's funny. I had the same conversation with a client yesterday, and I came to the conclusion that this is Trump's first salvo. This isn't going to be where we wind up with these
tariffs.
This
isn't where we're going to
This is a negotiation. I agree with you. It's a strategy. It's a negotiating strategy. I think there will be some leveling out here going on. Like BMW is now threatening to pull their production out of the United States.
Sure.
There's going to be an agreement. And I think like what he does is he goes right for the wall. All right, I'm going to give you my extreme position, and maybe we'll settle for something in the middle.
And that's been his strategy in business and in his books, is that he goes straight for the jugular, grabs him, shakes him, throws him against the wall, and then says, yeah, I love you anyway.
Yeah, let's do a deal.
Let's calm down. Look at him with Angela Merkel today. Calls him everything, but it was not good. Then he comes back and says, "Yeah, we're great friends. We're great partners. We're just loving, right?"
Yeah.
So
cool politics.
There's behind the scenes, in front of the scene, and listen, what I'm looking at is our economy is good. Hallelujah. You're not being taken advantage of. You know how many people in this country are sick and tired of us supporting the world? We're providing defense for the rest of the world. You know, when you look at 86% of our budget, 86% goes for defense, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and interest. 14%
discretionary
goes for
truly
everything
discretionary.
Else.
Right.
So the key is this: a lot of this is just not fair. So can he straighten it out? Let's hope he does. If he doesn't, like you were just saying. Goods in like if we go into Walmart, almost everything is made in China. Is the quality there? You know, here comes a problem.
Yeah,
a lot of these things, they have a short shelf life. They just don't last. Now we don't pay much, but on the other hand, we used to buy a shovel that Stanley on it, and it was made in America, and my grandfather had it, and my father had it, and I've got it. And it's the same shovel,
right?
You know, some things really last. So we'll see how this whole thing shakes out.
Like I had a World War II vintage refrigerator in my house up in New York. And that was probably a good 40 or 50 years old at the time. It was still running.
Vince, that's called an icebox.
No. It was a refrigerator. But
it had the motor up on top?
No, it's one of those old Frigidaire, you know, round front. This thing was like 50 years old.
Still running.
And it was kept temperature really cool. And I said, that's what you call built to last.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what we used to do with those? They moved them to the garage.
Yes, that's what we moved to the garage.
Because it was so ugly and old, but it never quit running. The new one you bought, the nice expensive $700, $1,700, that one broke. But the one in the garage, we'd have to take the stuff out of the house and put it back in the garage one.
Part of the movement towards cheaper material.
Yeah.
Like plastics.
Yeah.
None of those. They make these gears, plastic gears. I don't know how that works.
Well, if there's an upside to this, making trade fair and creating more jobs in the country. There's no one answer to this, but why do you think the stock market reacts negatively every time a president says that he's going to raise tariffs on something?
Well, yes and no. But look, for the last 9 days, except for today, the market went up.
True.
So what happened is all these tariff things. Today, today the market went down. I don't know what it closed
at. I don't know either, but it was about 1%
down. No, it was much less than 1%. It was a half to less. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 were 0.4%.
So, which is nothing.
It's nothing. That can happen on any given day, what's going on. So literally certain things happen that create changes in the market. But when Alan, we talked about this morning on the other radio show. Last year, the S&P 500 was up nearly 20%. Okay, everybody was happy. This year, as of yesterday, it was up roughly 4-5%. The NASDAQ 100 was up around 10% so far this year, and it's a half a year over.
And the Dow was up about 1%.
Yep. You and I predicted that the
Dow
was
up a half a point, but it closed about half of 1% up.
Half of
0.41%. 0.41%.
Oh my! It actually gave.
You sure it went up?
Came back all that 200 points.
Green arrow up.
Green arrow up.
Usually means
just
up.
CPAs, they look at things backwards sometimes.
No, we don't. Only your former CPA.
You know, here at market turned around dramatically in the last hour, which has happened many times.
Yeah.
The key thing that we talked about that on the program this morning. I had a client of mine call in and said I walk on water because she was up 35% in the last year and a half, and she was in a quote annuity contract that has insurance with the with her investment. And it worked magnificently for her. She's just happy as a clam. But, you know, and we said this morning, the investment side is in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100. The NASDAQ 100 represents most of the big tech companies, which is like Facebook and Netflix and Amazon and just go on and on. These things have been outperforming like crazy.
S&P was up almost a point today.
1%?
1%.
Yeah. Wow. See? Market turn.
You know, one other thing that I wanted to mention is what I like to do when I see something in business that really stands out to me, I like to mention it. And I'd love to give kudos today to Elon Musk. He was the only CEO that went over to Thailand to try and help rescue yeah. those 13 people by bringing his prototype, what do you call it, a submarine yeah, or whatever yeah, he called
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is wonderful, and this says a lot about our country, that we have visionaries like this in our country.
You hit that word, visionaries. That's a monster word.
And we're a monster country because of what we're able to do with the brain power that we have.
Well, you know, God gave us our Constitution, you know, writers way back at the beginning of this country that took basically the best of British law and then converted it into the Constitution. And nobody's been able to make this thing bad. They've added amendments that only improved it. Yeah. And so today we are the land of milk and honey for the whole world. And thank you, Lord, we're here. I mean, what else can you say?
And really, thank you, Lord, because I believe, I don't think I ever mentioned it on this show, but there are three countries in the world that mentions the Lord in their founding documents. Besides the United States, we have England as the second one and Israel as the third one.
There you go. There you go. And, you know, there have been many people that have tried to eliminate God from our country and from links. And, boy, that sure died this last year when our current administration and a lot of the people said, wait a minute, this is how we were founded. This is our basis for our country. So don't try to make us something we were not, because that is our Constitution. So, hey, listen, I just came back from the Bahamas. I thank God every year for letting me go. On the way back, I thanked him again for letting me come back. And then I asked him my annual boat prayer. Lord, can I have one more year? And so far, he's given me many. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the boat didn't break. That's Ooh. 6 trips, and the boat didn't break till it got home. Now, it got home, it broke.
Ooh.
But that's okay. Boats break. I mean, it's going to happen.
It didn't break when you're in the middle of the ocean.
That's my point. Yeah.
That would have been a heck of a thing.
Now, here's a... Jonathan, you're a mechanic, right? Wait a minute. Come on. Give me...
I'm a minister.
I know that, but...
He's mechanically inclined.
When you were a kid...
I am mechanically inclined. Okay, yes, so somewhat.
Now, I've got to...
I mean, if I don't fix it, I can break it. We're going to come up with a plan.
We're on to the same thing.
Okay.
When you're a boater and you've got 3 engines and air conditionings and all kinds of stuff on the boat, you have to be somewhat of a mechanic, otherwise sure. You're in trouble. Now, I'm a shirt tail. When I was a kid, we didn't have any money, so we worked on our own cars, right?
Mm-hmm. True.
Changing plugs and points and filing points. Emery board came in handy on it. Remember, all this basic stuff. So I'm 10 miles offshore on the way back, and all of a sudden the oil pressure goes down on one engine. So I add 7-Eleven and figure out I got a problem. No smoke, no nothing, no noise. But I go down, turn the engine off, and I'm out of oil. So I think, hey, you know, I'm old. Maybe I forgot to check it, which is not true. But I'm giving myself some leeway here. And I add oil to it. Starts up. Everything's good. Oil pressure's back. I come in. And I go get some fuel. And I see this oil slick around my boat. And I figure somebody left here and left oil on the water.
Somebody was you.
So now it's not burnt oil. It's not burnt. It's raw oil.
You got a hole in one of the lines? Are they feeding it?
We're getting close. So I go out a ways, and I stop the boat and look again, and by golly, there it is. Oil slick. It's coming out of the exhaust. Now, Jonathan, how does oil get into the exhaust not burnt?
Through the manifold, it probably is never getting. It's not circulating. You've got a gasket's busted on that.
See, that was where my head went, but I'm trying to figure out where does the oil gasket work that it's going to let in oil into the exhaust.
Head gasket?
We're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't figure it out except for what you're saying now. So I went online. You ready for this? Oil cooler.
Ooh, your oil cooler.
Ah. Now, this is a freshwater cooled system. So water circulates. They call it a heat exchanger. It's a radiator, like a car has a radiator. The boat has a heat exchanger. Well, it also has a couple of tubes, a thing that water goes through, and it has tubes in it that allows the oil to come through, and the water cools it.
Mm.
Now, the lucky part is the oil comes in the tubes in the higher pressure than the water, so the oil came out of a tube into the water, which goes through the exhaust. It's raw water. Now you know. Aren't you excited?
I'm excited.
You know, I'm excited too. And here's why really I'm excited, because I want to tell our audience that this is an audience participation show, and we'd love to have you call in. As a matter of fact, we have a phone number for that, Joe. You've been gone for 3 weeks, so you might have forgotten, but I'll remind you right now. 888-221-8990.
Toll free.
Absolutely.
I listened to us in the Bahamas. I didn't call in because it cost too much money. The Bahamas, they charge you by the minute over there. 1-888-221-8990. Vince Rizzino, CPA, is here. Retired attorney Alan Love is here. Joe Martek, financial advisor, is here. Pastor Jonathan is here. So we're here to answer questions. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, kind of hurt our feelings, but on the other hand, I've had my feelings hurt before, and you notice I've survived. You can call a radio station anytime. Pastor Dave, Jonathan, or Tom, or Karen will take your phone call and your number and have us call you back, and we're here to help. Remember, we've got a CPA, independent insurance agent, realtor, mortgage broker, attorney, and a financial advisor. 1-888-221-8990. And you know, I've been getting more and more into protecting people's money, because now the market is good, everything is doing well, and in fact a lot of people think it's doing too well. So when things go too well up, you know at some point they got to go quickly back down, which we have experienced in our life many, many times.
So would you say it's full right now, Joe?
Well,
in your opinion?
The interesting thing is, Vince, price to earnings ratio was worse a year ago than it is today.
Yeah, companies are doing better.
Mm-hmm. So literally it's not as full, but it's still been full for over a year. In fact, if you'd have said to me 2 years ago that last year was going to be a 20% year, I'd have said you're crazy. Now, we didn't know what our administration was going to pull off economically, but literally, and in fact, Alan, we talked about this, you know, a year ago. We were all getting worried that things were going to go, and then last year was a banner year. And this year, you and I fully expect this to be a 10% year when it's done. The NASDAQ 100 is already up 10. S&P 500 is up around 5. Today, it might be up, it might have pushed over 6.
Well, you know, no economic indicator is going to be right all the time.
Never.
If we could look at one thing and it was right all the time, we'd all be billionaires. But there is no such animal.
No.
But the thing that I personally am watching now is when the yield curve between the 2-year note and the 10-year note inverts. And Vince, can you quickly explain what an inverted yield curve is?
All right, again, I'm not an economist, but I think I can explain this. Usually there's a gap between, let's say, the 2-year note and a 10-year note. And normally, you know, the further out you go, the higher the rate
of interest.
And this yield inversion, what they're talking about, is when short-term rates just get above the longer-term rates, it's inverted, meaning
now
it's upside down.
What would cause something like that?
Well, it's probably some pessimism about the future, because usually the people buying 10-year bonds or 20-year bonds are people who are thinking forward and what they're anticipating.
More optimistic.
They're more optimistic. If they don't become optimistic, if they become slightly pessimistic or bearish, then that'll cause those rates to drop. And but consequently, there's other things that cause the short term to go up. And Joe, you probably know better than me and explain that part. But
literally, it's when the economy starts to reverse. All of a sudden we have this quote full thing. It's way too good. Like when all of a sudden the price of an existing house is more than the price of a new house. That's wrong. When interest rates get up in the bank to 7, 8, 9, 10%, there's a problem. So all these things are harbingers of some kind of collapse that is imminent. Remember when our last or two Federal Reserve chairmen, Alan Greenspan, came up and said we're exuberant. What was his words?
It's
irrational. Exuberance. He didn't use anything but four-syllable words. But the bottom line was he predicted the collapse in the mush of the economy, and nobody believed it, and it did collapse.
Well, actually, he predicted it after the fact.
Well, that was
because while it was going on, he was signing off on it. He was really in charge of that whole fiasco.
The key thing that happens is when I look at literally what's going on today, and I fully expect this to be a good year in spite of politics, in spite of tariffs, in spite of trade imbalance, because unemployment is extremely low, wages are not soaring, which means inflation has not raised its ugly head yet. Now, next year may not be as good as this year. Next year could be the beginning of a recession, maybe the year after. We just don't know. And Alan, what you said is, we don't know. I had a buddy of mine in the business. He said, you know, if you never make a mistake, you'd be the only person in the world with all the money. Because nobody knows it 100% of the time. So if you can be right 50, 60% of the time, you're doing pretty good. So what I lean on heavily, especially with my clients that are not too young, that are very conservative, is to try to say, hey, if we put insurance together with an investment to protect it in case you die so your family's protect it in case you don't die so that you know you've got income guaranteed for life, but yet you get to share in the market. Like, there's nothing.
So you're talking about a variable annuity.
Yes, yes. Now, I'm supposed to say my compliance people that you have to know which insurance company you're dealing with or claims paying ability, but the key thing is it's an insured investment, which today, as I said, it's nice when Deborah called in today and said she's up 30% in 17 months, 35%. And I said, you know, hey, look at, and she is just happy as a clam, to put it mildly. Well, one of the nice things that happens when you have this contract, you got insurance to back you up and things go wrong. But if things go right, take your money, run, spend it, do whatever you want. You can do that. So it's kind of like have your cake and eat it too. Now, there's some negatives. Can you believe there's negatives in this world? Insurance companies charge money. They don't work for free. Well, no kidding. So if you didn't have a broker, if you didn't have an insurance company last year, instead of making 20, you might have made 23 or 24. But the insurance company is going to take a piece of the action to provide the protection. And that's just the way the system works. Anyway, our job here is to educate people, whether it comes to helping them with their taxes, to helping them with legal things, to help them with their finances, whether it's rolling over an IRA or a 401k or a 403b. Well, boy, there's so many letters and numbers out there that are driving me nuts, Vince. They haven't eliminated, I don't think, any of them.
No. When they all fall under the 401 banner, Joe, all of these compensation, deferred compensation,
all
pension
of them
plans,
can be
all
basically
fall under
the same rules.
They're all under those 401 rules.
See, the rules basically, folks, means this. If you have a retirement account that you put money into and you didn't pay tax on it, or your company put money in that you didn't pay tax on, the rules are pretty much this. When you turn age 59 and a half, you can start taking the money out without a penalty. If you do take money out prior to that age, you're subject to a 10% penalty plus whatever the tax is. But after 59 and a half, you can take it out.
And only pay the tax.
And only pay.
No penalty.
Subject to.
Right.
You may not owe any, but it's
subject to tax. Right.
Now, and another thing that most people don't think about, and it's something we never talk about, earned income has what's called payroll taxes. We have Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have passive income, meaning money that you earn from the bank in interest or in investments, there is no Social Security and Medicare. So right away, you don't have that extra bite that comes out. And when you're retired, and Vince, you're better here with that. If I'm a retired couple, I've seen retired couples, Social Security, Medicare, pensions, basically have about $50,000 a year sometimes with not a taxable bite.
Right. And especially, yeah, because there is an exemption for a piece of your Social Security,
right,
depending on your income, your family income.
Yeah. So literally, and think the top Social Security benefit now is pushing $3,000 a month, isn't it?
I didn't think it was that high.
$2,800,
I think, yeah, is the highest.
So you can multiply $2,800 times 12 as 29, 30. You got about
$33,600.
Exactly. See, that's why we have Alan here. He's good at math. So you got that. So if you have a pension on top of that of $10,000, you're at 43. You may have no tax at all, right?
That's right. So it, I mean, could be.
Yeah.
Because, well, this year is going to be interesting because they eliminated the personal exemptions, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In its place, you got a higher standard deduction. So it depends on where you fell in that thing.
Point is, when you put it all together in the hat, basically a husband and wife can pretty much get around $50,000 a year, it looks to me, without me going into major differences, major discussion on how the money got into that hat, and their tax bite is minimal or none.
50 is a little high. I think probably more like the 40,000, probably, okay, a little less. But yeah, 50 is high. I think if they make 50, they're still going to. And it depends on how much of it is Social Security.
There you go.
So Vince, in years past, there was something called income averaging. Is that out the window now?
Yes. I mean, there is for certain, I'm trying to think if it's some kind of oil, where you've got a windfall from oil profits or something. Yeah. There's some very esoteric area of the law that still allows you to income average. But no, for the most part, most pretty people know. You know, it's out. It's out the door.
Dollar cost averaging. I like that.
Yes, dollar cost averaging. That's always
nothing
good.
Wrong with that, but certainly you didn't get a windfall for the pollution that you caused on your way back from the Bahamas because your boat was acting up. It's your fault, Joe.
I had a couple of fish chasing me, yelling at me.
Vince, shall we blame him for pollution?
Listen, I probably killed some algae with that oil on the water.
I hope not. You know, the Lord created algae too. It's one of God's wonderful creatures.
On the other hand, in defense of me, here comes a stretch, and I'm looking for one.
Yes.
Here we go.
It will evaporate. Petroleum on top of water is lighter than water, and it will evaporate. So this is a good thing. This is not like, you know, like, and my oil was pure and innocent.
Well, you know, it will evaporate, but it takes tons of time. I mean, you couldn't leave the Exxon Valdez oil spill there in Alaska.
It'll take about 100 years.
Wait a minute. My oil is refined.
I see.
So, I mean,
just like you, Joe, right?
Just like me, right?
Fine. Joe Martek.
Little drop around the edges there.
1-888-221-8990. If you have any questions involving 401ks, 403bs, those are employment plans with your employer, retirement plans. If you have a question about an IRA, which is an individual retirement account, here's a good time to call in. I think the rules still say the same. If you're over 50, you can put $6,500 a year into a traditional.
Traditional IRA, right.
Or a Roth IRA, right?
Correct.
And or under that.
With certain income limitations, obviously.
Yeah, if you make too much money.
You can't.
If you're making $500,000 a year, the government says, forget that. We don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's complications there because also what affects it is if you're an employee and how much you're eligible for with your employer.
Right.
That might knock you out of the Roth IRA scenario because you make too much money.
If you make too much.
And you're eligible.
If you're putting $20,000 a year into a
401k, then there's not much else you're going to be able to do.
But there are other retirement plans, Simples and SEPs, that allow people to put more money aside, especially if they're self-employed.
$12,500 for a Simple.
Yeah.
Again, that has income limitations as well. But
a SEP. Allows quite a bit, but
I think it's about $54,000. I think based on your self-employment income.
Yeah, gotta have some. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's all kinds of stuff that we come across, and when a person has a question about any of that stuff, that's what we're here for.
Exactly. Yeah. Give us a call.
1-888-221-8990. Now listen, we're begging for phone calls. Anybody can call you. It was not a bad thing calling us, Jonathan. Even you could call.
Go in the next room, Jonathan.
Someplace a phone call. Disguise your voice.
Joe, I'd like to get into another one of your areas that you're talk about on the air quite frequently. REITs, Investment Trust.
Yeah.
And I just read an article yesterday of how hot the Seattle, Washington housing market is.
Unbelievable.
when the real estate market gets hot, historically, it usually means it's probably closer to its at least near-term top than than a place to make a lot of money. But the REITs that you invest in, they're not affected by that as much, are they?
Well, most of the ones I do are mortgage-oriented rather than fixed pieces of real estate. But if I was going to talk to a person about a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, just so you understand, REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. As soon as you use that word trust, the rules are they have to pay out 90% of their profits every 3 months. So the value of the trust doesn't change much because they're constantly paying out the profits. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll take a call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello. How are you? This is Karen.
Karen, very good. How are you?
I'm well, too. Thank you. I have a question about being WEP, W-E-P. I've got many years in the private sector working, and I am now working for the Florida Retirement System, Martin County Schools.
Right.
And I'm reading a book that says that when you are working for a government pension, that if you don't have 30 years in paying into Social Security, i.e. the private sector, that you might get WEP. For example, I think you lose 5% of your Social Security if you only have 29 years in the private sector. So my question is, I don't know if that's federal government to federal government or if the state, Florida state retirement system is considered something that might affect being WEP. And I also am trying to figure out how I would discern if I have 30 years, they say substantial, quote unquote, 30 substantial years out in the private sector to ensure that I don't get
WEP. Karen, I'm not sure what the WEP means, but there's two different things. Your private pension has their own rules that govern your eligibility and how many years of service you must have and what you're going to get. Social Security, on the hand, has their rules, most of which you must have 40 eligible quarters of earnings through your lifetime. And normally what they do is once you become eligible, then the highest 35 years of compensation is what's used to calculate your benefit.
However, so, I've not heard of a penalty. Have you, Vince? When it comes, like, I know this. If you are opting out of Social Security because you're in a system, sometimes firemen or policemen or certain municipalities, mm-hmm. they don't have to contribute. Sometimes in the ministry, you don't have to contribute to Social Security. Then there are rules that complicate it when you're no longer involved in, let's say, the ministry or something like that. And now, but I have never heard ever the word 30 years when it comes into a
penalty.
Not
with Social Security, no.
Like Vince said, you have to work 40
quarters,
which adds up to 10 years. And you contribute to Social Security for those 40 quarters, and now you're, quote, vested, and your benefit is determined. How do they determine the
Well, it's a complicated formula, but basically they take your highest 35 years' earnings. It's complicated because they take it all back to 1978 as a starting base, and then they bring it up based on inflationary factors. It's complicated.
Yeah.
But let's just say it's your highest 35 years of wages.
But then,
our earnings.
And again, if you're opting out of Social Security, that doesn't mean you're not going to get your Social Security benefit.
Well, I know when you say opt out, I don't know if you could quote opt out unless you're in a particular type of job
that doesn't require
you to participate.
Yeah,
then you could opt out. Otherwise, everybody else can opt out.
You can't just no. You cannot. But if you're in railroad ministry, there's certain I forget which ones they are, but that don't. We may not be helping you at all, Karen, with that. But the key thing. The key thing that I'm looking at is this. The easy thing for you to do, you call Social Security, give them your Social Security number. They will look you up, and they'll tell you what you're eligible for and when you can start collecting and how much it is, whether you contribute another dime once you've got your quarters in, which you sound like you do. And then if you get an outside pension, that does nothing to do with Social Security.
Exactly. No. So they'll be able to basically tell me whether I have 30 substantial, quote-unquote, years. They'll probably also be able to tell me whether or not the Florida retirement system is considered an entity that could create the WEP situation.
Yeah, you see, I've never heard of that. Now, it's an acronym. What's it stand for, WEP?
It is, and I'm so sorry because I'm reading a book, and I don't remember the name of the book, and I don't remember what WEP stands
okay.
for.
Okay,
okay. Basically, it says that if you don't have 30 years in the private sector, substantiated years,
right,
that your pension, now your Social Security, can get knocked down certain percentages depending on how many years short you are of that 30-year mark, or what I'm assuming now might be 40 quarters.
So it's quarters.
Basically, they didn't want you to double dip.
See, but 40 quarters is 10 years. So. And that benefit is there. Once you've got that 10 years in, if you never contributed another dime and you never worked another day, you're still eligible for your Social Security benefit, even though it may not be as much. But if you're in it this longer period of time, the averaging system might work to your benefit. Like, Vince, you know, stay with me. Let's say your last 5 years into Social Security, you're making $200,000 a year and you contribute. You're obviously going to probably get a higher benefit than if you were making minimum wage. But if you have a pension on top of that, I've never, ever heard of Social Security penalizing you for having a pension or other income, period.
No, I've not heard that either.
It has to do with the government not paying the government, and because Social Security is federal, and
right,
we're talking about the Florida retirement
system. That's state.
State level, right. I'm assuming that I'm still going to be paying Social Security, even though I'm working for the state and I'm going to have a Florida retirement system. Because
you should.
State to federal, not federal to federal.
Well,
so the WEP situation may only pertain to a federal government position.
That might be.
Probably okay. The federal government employer is not going to pay the federal.
There you go.
And that sounds more plausible. That's starting to make sense.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I think it just applies to a federal employee situation.
There you go. So the more, I guess the moral of the story is, don't be a politician.
Don't be a politician.
Wait a minute. Don't worry about that. None of us here are too worried about it either.
Actually, Joe, the politicians do very well with their pensions.
Isn't that the truth? Wait a minute. I guess being a senator or a congressman in the federal system is,
you know, you only have to work one complete year in order to be eligible.
Yeah, and then you get a monster. On the other hand, you just go ahead and get elected, and remember that we are your serfs, and you have to take care of us. Yeah. Right.
Yes, it's very interesting.
If you find out any information other than we're saying, but I literally, I have had magnificent experiences with the Social Security office, literally right here, and talking to them on the phone, making actual appointments, sitting down. They have gone out of their way to explain anything I've asked, and very, very knowledgeable. So you might, when you get bored, make that effort and see.
They're excellent, Joe. I agree with you. I've been up there.
Very good. All right, Karen.
That's superb. Great. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Karen.
Back to REITs.
REITs.
So REITs have to pay out 90% of their profits every 3 months. Just stay with that thing. So now there's different types of REITs. Real estate is real estate, whether it's a mortgage. Let's say some of the REITs that scare me to death right now are shopping centers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at major malls are all, not, I wouldn't say all, but many of them are having major problems because of internet competition. Look at what Amazon is doing to the retailers, and especially the malls. Then there's apartment REITs. Let's say apartment projects. And you and I, Alan, and we all combine our money, and we go out and build 1,000 apartments. And we're collecting rent from all of them. Well, I've seen little mistakes made in that business, too. Some years ago, they had a study done in Orlando that said they needed 3,000 new apartment units because of the growth. So you know what happened in the next year? They built 30,000 because everybody read the same study and took it to the bank and convinced the bank that they could do this. And all of a sudden, the occupancy was not good, and most of these got repossessed by the bank. But the key is this. Certain things are more risky than others. The other side of the coin, Alan, that I personally do, REITs that I'm using today are paying 10 and 12%. That's the dividend they're paying. But I only deal with ones that are 100% liquid, meaning I can buy it today and I can sell it today, literally. They trade on a stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. That's the only ones I deal with because there are some that are not liquid. Now, if you're an investor, you need to be educated before you ever even get close to a REIT and understand the difference between a traded and not traded. Sometimes the not traded ones will say, fine, we'll let you buy out once a year. There's a penalty for buying out. Some will say, in case you die, they'll have a death benefit. But there's no real liquidity, meaning I can buy it today and sell it tomorrow. Okay, does that answer anything on REITs?
Yes, it does. One other thing, when REITs pay their dividend,
mm-hmm.
like when you buy a stock, let's take a stock that's at $20.25,
right,
and they pay a 25-cent dividend,
right.
Well, the day after it goes ex dividend, without the dividend, that stock, if it opened at where it closed the night before, it would not open at $20.25. It would open at $20. It would be adjusted for the 25-cent dividend.
Well, that's in a perfect world.
Yeah. But how do REITs do the same thing? If they've got to pay 90% of their profit, that doesn't happen all at once, does it?
Every 3 months.
So it's a quarterly dividend.
Yeah, it's a quarterly thing. Like most dividends or most companies are paid quarterly, semi-annually. But what happened is, let's take a piece of stock that pays a 10% dividend, and I pay $10 for it. $10 for a share pays a buck.
So
right?
It pays a buck.
At 25 cents every 3 months.
Every quarter per share.
Now, yes. What happens is, you use the word ex-dividend, and most 90% of the people listening here have no clue what that means. What means is you have to own that stock on a certain date in order to collect the dividend. Now, the dividend might pay one day after you have to own it. So that means I could buy it today if it goes ex-dividend today, and if it pays the dividend tomorrow, I can collect that whole 25 cents. Now, I've seen that actually happen. Now, does that happen very often? And what happens to the price of that share of stock? Let me just tell you something. The day before, the price of that stock goes up.
Right.
And the day after, it goes down.
They anticipate the dividend.
They anticipate.
It gets built into the price.
Sure.
Now, once they declare it, then the stock goes back down.
So the key is this. Once a share is passed, where you, let's say the dividend X date, you have to own it 1 month prior to its paying. Okay. So it's now a 3 month period, but you only have to own it for 1 month to collect all 3 months worth of dividend. Well, the day before that you have to own it, the price of that share of stock very often goes higher, and the day after, it goes down. Now, I've seen swings as much as 10 and 20% in a 3 month period of time based on these dividend dates, where a lot of people will rush in at one point and a lot of people rush out at another point, traders.
So do REITs operate the same way as far as how they pay out their money?
Yes.
Okay.
So literally, the value of the share of stock can change 5, 6, 8, 10%. That doesn't mean that it's a good, bad, or indifferent deal, but literally, the concept is that when you own it on a certain date, you're going to collect the whole 3 months worth of dividend, and you may have to only own it for a week or 2 weeks. Normally,
so if it's 30 days before, Joe, anticipate it going up on that day, right on that 30th day.
Right.
Because everybody wants to buy in,
they
get
the
whole 3 months worth.
So they collect the whole three months.
Yeah.
The week before it declares that you have to own it, you get a ton of people buying in at that point.
Sounds like a bargain, doesn't it?
Well,
because you're getting 3 months worth of interest and you only own it for a month.
But on the other hand, then the day after it declares you can't get the 3 months, the price of that stock comes down because now I'm not going to be able to collect for another 4 months.
Right.
So exactly. Anyway.
But there are other factors too. I mean, if you're buying just to try and collect the appreciation off of the dividend, if the stock market all of a sudden is in a downtrend,
right,
the stock is probably going to react in the downtrend and not worry about the dividend.
And that's what happens. Sometimes the companies keep paying the dividend perfectly, but their stock price goes up and down dramatically depending on market conditions, et cetera. But a lot of times people that need income, that need income. The amount of the value of the share of stock is not as critical as making sure they get that check every 3 months, because the income is critical. So it depends on the person. Like, I'm meeting with a client on Sunday afternoon that's retired, and they're living in a retirement they're living in an assisted living, costing them $6,000 a month. That's a lot of income.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security, they add up, pension, you add up, and then they've got to have investment income to adds up enough so that they can live. They are not as concerned about the value of their portfolio as they are making sure they can pay their rent every month.
Because otherwise, they're going to dig into principal. They'll run out of money.
And then you run out of money, and then what do? You move in with the kids if the kids can be found. 1-888. I used to joke with my kids. I said, I had four of you because I'm going to need another $4,000 a month when I retire, and I want to make it easy, $1,000 each. My kids used to say, Daddy, are we going to be able to afford you when you get old? 1-888-221-8990. And I hope Karen calls back with that WEP thing. Which,
yeah, I'd like to. I don't know.
It's
got to
be an acronym for something.
And it definitely is.
And I would just be, because I've not heard. But you know what, Vince? It never fails. Here we are, two old guys. We've been around forever and ever.
Some of us older than others.
Yeah, you just look older than me. It's not a
problem. Oh, no, that's a matter of opinion there.
Definitely my opinion. The key I'm trying to say is there's always something new that comes along that mitigates or changes the system. And Lord save me, but we can't figure out every one of them. But, hey, we like to hear about them if there's something new.
Yeah. Only what I've heard about is basically protocol when you're running Wi-Fi. There's a WEP security.
I'm so happy for you.
Yes. And the WEP that I heard about for many years of my life up in Wisconsin was Wisconsin Electric Power.
Wow. Boy, oh boy.
So we got all these
and their symbol, by the way, is WEP.
There you go.
Holy cow.
Now, listen, Karen, look at WEP, and maybe you better buy stock.
That is not a recommendation.
That's not a recommendation. 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time, so we don't have time, but thank you, Karen, for calling. And there was a regular listener that was here earlier today talking to Vince before the show that was we appreciate very much. She loved my humor. She loved the fact I call Alan a messy Jew, right?
You call me the appropriate things in life, Joe. I appreciate that.
Anyway,
you're conceding that they're appropriate.
That was very nice of you, Alan.
You know what? It's a lot of fun doing this show because it's done with great people who give great information, and it's just a pleasure for me to be sitting here every week and joining the team.
Hey, I'm always impressed that you're still alive, you know, because, you know, let's face it, you're old.
So are you.
You're actually older than him.
Did I set that up? Did I set that up improperly? The dummy Martek?
You did.
All right, guys, we're really winding down. We got like 30 seconds left. Remember this. The number is 888-221-8990. We've got Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joel Martek, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney. We've got Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, and Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. We're here to help you any way we can. Thank you so much for listening. We're now, according to the flip cards, you know, I'm really impressed that you're flipping those cards as well as you are. And Tom's standing here ready to push the button to get rid of us because you're not going to do it. Okay, I just got the signal that says quit. Until next week.
Well,
thanks, 15 seconds. Thanks for listening.
God bless you. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice.
The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM.